Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Over 190 countries have signed off on a landmark biodiversity agreement to reverse decades of environmental destruction threatening the world's species and ecosystems. The deal was agreed at the UN Biodiversity Conference, COP15, in Montreal in Canada in the early hours of this morning. And here to tell us more, we're joined now by Green Party TD Malcolm Noonan, also Minister of State for Heritage and Electoral Reform. And you're very welcome, Minister, to the programme this evening. I know you were in attendance at COP15 last week, and you've described this deal as an historic moment for nature. So can you explain exactly what it will mean or could mean?
Well, Sarah, it is certainly the deal agreed in the early hours of the morning is very substantial, and there's broad-based actions to transform our relationship with nature and the natural world over by 2030, and then by 2050 to be living in harmony with nature. And it's a huge agreement in terms of, so I'm still trying to sift through it myself, and the main thrust of it will be around the 30 by 30 targets, which we're familiar with here in Europe and in Ireland. The restoration has to be underway or completed of 30% of degraded lands. It's around reduction of nutrients and pesticides, hazardous chemicals, actions on invasive alien species, the rights of indigenous peoples, which is critical given that they are harbouring and custodians of 80% of our biodiversity. And a big element of it has been around raising international financial flows from developed to developing countries to pay for biodiversity actions, and the phasing out of harmful subsidies that harm biodiversity. So all in all, it looks to be a really good deal. Certainly when I was there last week, there were good signs that the Chinese presidency, along with the Canadian hosts, were really pushing to try and get members over the line. And I'm delighted, I have to say, that the European Union played its part. Our own team, led by Dr. Deirdre Lynn from MPWS and Richard Cronin from Marine Environment Section of the Department of Housing, have played a huge part in that.
Okay, I want to talk about that 30 by 30. So that is that a pledge to protect 30% of the world's land and seas by 2030. I know when the Taoiseach, or former Taoiseach now, Taoiseach Micheál Martin, said he would sign a pledge to cut methane emissions by 30% at COP26. He said at the time that figure was a global target rather than a national one, so he wasn't signing Ireland up to that pledge to cut methane emissions by 30%. Rather, he wanted the world to do it. Is it the same when it comes to this 30 by 30?
Well, certainly Ireland's contribution will be as part of the EU biodiversity strategy. So how that transposes down to our own national biodiversity action plan is something that we're still working on. Certainly the marine element of the 30% is much, much easier to attain. Just before we went to COP, we announced a significant increase, 3 million hectares of protection of seas around the northwest and the southwest of Ireland, to bring us up to 8.3%, and we'll be moving towards 10% next year. We also published the Marine Protected Area, the general scheme of that bill. So that would be significantly easier to achieve. But I think in Ireland, we're aware that our land is predominantly in private ownership. So we will be working with landowners and farmers, and also looking at semi-state organisations who could help contribute towards
but
that.
But it sounds to me like you don't think that we will achieve that, the 30, or that perhaps we may not even have that as a target.
Well, currently, Ireland, our land-based protections are around 14%. And if you look at generally across Europe, it's up around 26%. There's a different dynamic here. And I think that's something I'm conscious of, and government is conscious of. And we've, there's been extensive negotiations with farm organisations. The EU Nature Restoration Law is going to become part of this. So there's a lot of moving parts still happening and still at play. And
it just sounds a little bit, Malcolm, like we're signing ourselves up to global pledges, asking everyone else to reach these targets, and not signing ourselves up to ourselves up to reach the targets. We signed up to the global methane target of 30% cut and said that's not a national target for Ireland, and now we're talking about this 30 by 30 goal. You're saying it's a historic agreement, but we can't do it here.
Well, we can. I think that the important thing here, as I said, is we've had a citizens' assembly on biodiversity, a young people's parallel assembly. Certainly the consensus, while we're still awaiting the outcome of that, the consensus seems to be that people want us to act. And I think certainly in talking to farm organisations, they want us to act as well, and they want to ensure that we have and can farm in a sustainable way. And I think the important thing around developing the next National Biodiversity Action Plan is we do so in a way that is achievable. You're absolutely right. I mean, targets are one thing, but actually achieving them is something different. Yeah. We can set down these targets, and
it's 2030. You know, we're coming into 2023. So if we want to achieve a target by 2030, it would need to be in the next plan, wouldn't it?
I think what we will do is given that this agreement has been agreed on as a European Union bloc, then Ireland will have to look at our own targets and how we achieve them, and then look at the Nature Restoration Law. And, you know, we've been very clear in supporting the Nature Restoration Law, but also ensuring that it has to be financed. So, say if the European Commission is saying you have to fund it from existing mechanisms such as the CAP, well, what we're really saying is that there needs to be a strategic fund for nature in place to ensure that we can support landowners to do these biodiversity actions, and there's an income stream for these initiatives. I think that's critically important.
There's also been criticism from this plan that in terms of halting the extinction of threatened species in this agreement, it doesn't specify targets that could hold countries to account. It just says, for example, that human-induced extinction of known threatened species should be halted, and by 2050, the extinction rate and risk of all species are reduced by tenfold. But there are no targets for specific countries, once again.
Yeah, again, that for me seems to be one of the weaker elements of the plan or of the agreement. And I think what you're trying to achieve out of this is by consensus of all the participating nations. And I think you're not going to get everything that you want. And I think certainly from a European Union perspective, overall, we're very happy with it. But I think there's elements that could be strengthened over time. If we recall to this COP15 is about 2 years delayed. It was supposed to take place in 2020, obviously because of the pandemic that hit. So, you know, we've already delayed that 2 years of action. So I think really what we're saying is this is a really positive day for nature. It's a fantastic achievement to have gotten this far and get member states. And it is, in my view, the Paris moment for nature and a great step forward.
Mm. The government is finalising the updated climate action plan at the moment. We're expecting that to be signed off by Cabinet this Wednesday. And there are reports today that the plan will include a 20% reduction in cars and a 10% reduction in cattle by 2030. There's that date again. Do you think those targets are achievable?
I can't really comment so far as Cabinet has still to sign off on the climate action plan. But any measures we take, be they in climate or biodiversity, Sarah, they have to be done in collaboration with people, communities. We can't achieve these targets without bringing people with us. And I think that's hugely important. And we're conscious of that. There's no doubt this is hugely challenging for us all. But I do think we have an opportunity now, given that we have a climate action plan that hopefully will be adopted by Cabinet tomorrow. And what we're looking at here with the National Biodiversity Action Plan will be the same plan that we're going to put on a statutory footing. And that is going to give us a great roadmap forward to tackle these twin crises.
Are you surprised to see that 10% reduction in cattle being reported, given we've heard numerous times from the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell, that he didn't expect to see a reduction in the herd?
Yeah, I'm not sure where that came from, to be honest with you, Sarah. And again, I'm not privy to the sign off on that tomorrow, so I won't comment any further. But I do think what government has been trying to achieve over the last 2.5 years is to put in place a mechanism, be it through the acre scheme or through the various measures that are put in place to support farmers, that it's done so in a way that they're getting paid for ecosystem services, for actions that support biodiversity, water quality and climate. I think that's the way forward.
Okay, just finally then, while we have you there, also reports that the government is now exploring the possibility of capping prices on energy bills. We all remember in advance of the budget, Sinn Féin were putting forward this idea. It was rejected out of hand by numerous government ministers who said it would amount to a blank check for energy providers. And now we hear it's being considered.
Well, there are no plans, Sarah, to change the current programme for it. And there's been a really good package of measures there in terms of the energy credits and fuel allowance payment and working family payments. So the ESRI is tasked with looking and studying at the best way to protect vulnerable households into the future, including the possibility of offering price certainty around that. So this is a piece of research that's being carried out. And I think it's critically important we continue this. I do think the measures put in place so far have been effective. And I think it's very important that we continue to. This is a very fast moving situation. situation, and it's very important that government keeps up to date with it.
Okay, so it's being considered, but no plans to introduce it. Is that the best way to...
No, that's correct, yeah.
No plans at the moment to introduce it?
No, there's no plans as far as I understand it.
And, at all to introduce it? You don't think it's going to happen?
Well, as I said, I think it's important that the SRI carries out this research to inform government of the best ways forward to try and protect vulnerable households.
Okay. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Green Party Minister Malcolm Noonan.